2020 to 2100, which I like, or 2100, 2100. Did I say that?
You did say that. You said 2100 three times just now.
I thought I was saying 20, like in my head it was 20,100.
Yeah.
And then I realized that's how you say it.
You said it right across the line.
Typically,
that was kind of strange.
I say 21,000.
Dude, you're doing good this morning.
I know. And then I keep backpedaling.
And you backpedal.
Deep dab.
Sorry for being behind the times.
Don't fucking apologize to me on the podcast.
Oh. I will never do that again. Oh, God. Oh, God.
What?
Sound.
What are you doing?
Hold on. I need to get a thing.
That's probably a really cool sound.
No.
I bought a little isolator, dude. Take it. It was too small.
Why do you, it turns out it was too small?
Yeah. It's for a smaller size microphone than this one.
So. Why do you need glasses now?
I didn't put my contacts in today, and I forgot to just move.
It's amazing to me. This is Itzhak, everyone.
No, this is Kendrick.
I'm Kyle. It's amazing to me how dirty backup cameras get when, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it.
Dirty, dirty backup cameras. Today on TikTok.
Because you think, like, they wouldn't get as dirty. But somehow they're, like, the dirtiest part on your car.
Sits up.
You can't keep saying sits up, give us money.
Relationship.
2018. So,
Mine's above my license plate. That's why it's dumb. Some of them are above the rear
window. Mine's above my license plate, too.
Some of them are on the top, above the window. Those don't get as dirty, I think.
It's the snowpocalypse, everyone.
Snowpocalypse 2018 4.
Version 4. This was a surprise one, I think. I don't know if anybody knew it was going to snow this much. These are the ones that, where everybody's out because nobody stayed home because they thought it was going to snow.
Yep. Except it snowed all morning and was snowing in the morning.
It was snowing yesterday. Morning, did it?
Yeah, there was snow in the morning. It wasn't as bad, but there was snow on the ground this morning, or yesterday morning. So it really doesn't make as much sense for there to be as dumb as yesterday, but oh my god, it took me all the hours to get home yesterday.
Look at this guy. Did you know there's an Arvada City ordinance that you have to shovel your walks?
That's a lot of places have it. I think we have it too.
You just ignore it?
I don't think they know how to write us up because we're like in a little pocket of nowhere, but.
Yeah, Kendrick's, like, what do they call it when you secede from the nation?
Yeah, that one.
Not unincorporated. You're literally not part of America, Kendrick.
Oh, yeah.
Highball, if you hadn't given us money yet, you should do it now.
Give me that money. So, yeah, I was, like, in stop traffic yesterday. I think they actually closed Wadsworth.
Really?
Yeah, under 70, because I think somebody just dropped their car on top of another car, and it exploded, and it was cool. I'm assuming it was cool.
It better have been cool.
Probably wasn't cool.
What the fuck? I was gonna talk about that cool image you sent me yesterday. But I have to find it.
Cool image or video?
Image.
Image.
It was a damn pic.
Oh. Yeah, I was thinking about those the other day. Why did that become a thing?
Dick pics in general?
Yeah. Who wants dick pics?
Some people like it. I mean,
does somebody actually want dick pics?
I think something that we have to remember about our society is, even though it doesn't seem so, there's as many horny, weird women as there is men.
I get that.
And so, do you like getting pictures of the tatas?
I mean,
the tay-tays?
I'm not opposed to it, but like if someone randomly sent that to me, it would still be kind of weird.
But like.
But the other part about it is people have been enjoying drawing curvy boobs for like 3,000 years, and nobody likes depicting dicks.
There's some artists who draw dicks.
There is a small minority, but every sculptor ever has sculpted boobs.
As Amy can surely corroborate, every artist worth their snuff should know how to draw both dicks and boobs. And I say that because, Amy, you have a friend that actually can't draw, who is a graphic artist, who refused to go to the class where they drew nude models because of reasons. Amy, would you please elaborate on this for me so we can have a laugh?
So, she's the closest thing to a Puritan I've ever met. Because of that, she didn't want to draw anybody nude, but also because of that, she doesn't know proportions. So every time she draws human beings, hands are always disproportionate. Everything else is always disproportionate, and it's just very clear that she has never looked at a nude model in her life.
And this individual does have an Instagram that you can go check out. That may or may not be linked in the description, because I don't want to like alienate people. Yeah,
it seems cruel.
It seems awesome.
No,
it's cruel.
It's cruel for the person going to the Instagram.
It's cruel.
It's not cruel. If you're gonna be good at something, learn all its facets.
Says you.
Yeah.
Gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Neckbeard.
I have a neckbeard.
Anyway, I've never met someone who really wanted unsolicited dick pics. I don't think I've met anyone who wanted. I've only met two people that want solicited dick pics.
So when you say solicited, though, do you mean like you know the person but they can send them to you randomly?
I mean, like, there's some level of trust there.
Okay, so, like, you're talking about the people who send dick pics, like, over OkCupid chat.
Yeah.
Okay. I have never experienced how much that happens, so I don't really know. Maybe Amy, would you be opposed to me posing as a woman on OkCupid just to see how many dick pics I get?
I'm pretty sure that's called catfishing.
Well, I don't care. I mean, it's not illegal.
I think it might be, actually.
Is it really?
I think it's... Well, it's
post
fraud.
In the comments if catfishing is illegal.
I think it's fraud.
The fuck is actually happening over there?
People really don't understand how to drive. It's astonishing. Like, or walk.
No, that lady is so frazzled.
It's because she got rear-ended by a truck. Or vice versa.
I mean...
Keep an ear out for that experiment, everybody.
I mean, a dick pic? Yeah. I'm told it happens all the time to people constantly. Like, those are the people that I've encountered. Or not...
Amy, have you ever been on online dating sites at all?
No.
Okay, well, thanks for contributing.
I'm trying to think of who said it. Several people have told me, like, yeah, you just have to learn how to get used to all the dick pics. And it's like, really? Like, really?
But I wanted to know if, like, it's actually, like, more than 50% of the time you talk to someone. Is that, to me, like, getting them every once in a while would be very memorable, but not often, right?
I don't know. Contentious topic. I don't feel like comfortable talking to people about it, especially like trying to analyze it because they tend to get defensive.
Well, you've literally talked to everyone about it on this podcast now for 20 minutes. So. All your parents.
Yep.
Talking about dick pics with your parents.
So anyway, that was all really to fill time while you.
No, it wasn't. It was a legitimate conversation about.
Did you get your list ready?
The Dickington Pickington. It's not a
list.
Picture?
It's a list of pictures.
Okay, it's a picture list.
Yeah.
So. Go ahead. You introduce this.
I came up on a steampunk Facebook group.
You came up or joined?
It came up on a steampunk Facebook group that I'm in that people mostly post weird shit to. So it's a nice place for, like, people post costumes they're working on or, like, sexy models that are also steampunk. Because it's a Facebook group, so it always devolves into sexy models. Just, like, as a rule. Kind of like how Tumblr just devolves into... emo mopery
and developing
entirely new types of gender that no one's ever heard of so that you can be unique and a special little flower.
I want to know, we should do an episode about all the Tumblr genders.
Tumblr genders. That's going to be the title of that episode, but not this episode.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that's cool and all. You'd be whatever the hell you want to be. I mean, like, be all you can be, like America Army stuff, but I don't fucking get it.
But the Army won't take you.
But I don't understand what... Where do you pee? I just want to know where you pee. Anyway, not for, like,
watch you.
you caught me as far as before I walked that back. Okay. Oh, jeez. No.
Don't worry. It'll be the first time they'll hear an accident on the podcast.
You can hear how really loud they are. So this came up, and it was the definition, at least somebody's attempt at defining the subgenres of asterisk punk.
Should we go through them real quick?
And I think we should go through them. Okay. And the little examples they have are kind of...
I will read the description of the type of punk, the time period it is set in, or rather when it was created, maybe? I don't know.
I think the time period... Well, we'll talk about that.
Okay. The descriptors that are below this image. And now, we can talk about the images. Do you want to talk about the images? I don't really want to have to describe all this.
I'll post the picture.
All right, so the first one is steampunk from 1860 to 1910.
And so I think the dates would correspond to what it's inspired by, technology-wise, like Jules Verne kind of mindset.
So this one is steampunk is described by steam power, gear tech, Gaslamp Fantasy and Victorian Futurism. So, like, a lot of Jules Verne.
Those are keywords that you would plug into a search engine, right?
I mean, I can understand why you'd say those things.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, they're some of them are sort of genres, some of them are identifiers, some of them are characteristics, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, next one. Do you want to talk about each one, or do we just want to go through it? Okay.
Let's roll through and then complain about how dumb it is.
I've never heard of this one before. Ray Punk.
Yeah, Ray Punk was...
1910 to 1930. Ray Gun Gothic, which is cool. I don't know what that is, but that
not
sounds
goth,
cool.
Not goth, but gothic.
Gothic, yeah. Like, Streamline, just the word Streamline.
Aqualine.
Strange Forces, Unknown Tech, and Aliens.
So you can think of that, some of that 50s sci-fi.
So I wasn't sure if that was Atomic Punk or if it was Ray Punk.
I think
because
it's...
Because this
is there Atomic Punk on there, too?
Yeah, Atomic Punk is the 50s.
But I mean, it's the early 50s sci-fi, where it's, like, all everything's all curvy, and the ray guns have little dishes on them, and everyone's, like, in sexy dresses for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sort of that early ray punk kind of thing, where everything's ray guns, because they were just figuring out microwaves and shit, right?
Okay.
So they were like, it's rays. We shoot rays at things. Ray guns. I'm going all
over here. Good.
That's my theory.
All right. The next one is Diesel Punk. I think a lot of people actually know what this is.
Diesel Punk is one of the like. So there's like steampunk, everyone knows about. Cyberpunk, most people know about. Diesel Punk is the next one that I think people know about if they know about any of them.
Mm-hmm. It's from 1930 to 1950, so World War One, Two. I don't remember times.
Was it 1930, 1950?
Yeah.
World War Two.
So okay. This is probably the genre that the most alternative World War Two stories take place in.
Yeah, yeah. Unless they're steampunk,
or just pure fantasy.
Or.
Because, like, I'm thinking magic, but, like, Hellboy.
So,
World War II. Oh, it says it right there. Pulp fiction, film noir, occult, and diesel power. So, I guess...
I mean, you could probably call
diesel
some...
Diesel punk. Hellboy is probably diesel punk.
I think you could say that Hellboy
Like, the start of Hellboy, not...
I would say that the setting for Hellboy, that part there.
Where it starts, like...
Yeah.
Like,
but I would say the whole thing's kind of steampunk, and then, like, it starts off in a more diesel punk, and then transitions into a... I don't know, steampunk kind of thing.
You think Hellboy's steampunk?
I kind of think all of these are still sort of under steampunk, and it's like I think people will misallocate a lot of the stuff into steampunk, and I don't think that that's...
I think the hard line between steampunk and diesel is like just the time period. I mean, if it's like World War II, you're outside of steam.
You're outside steam, but so much of the other aesthetics are still there, right?
I guess.
Lots of leather, really a little bakelite, like, is it bakelite? Bakelite? I don't know how to pronounce that word because we don't use it anymore.
It's because it's dumb. All right, the next one is Atomic Punk. Atom Punk, sorry. Not Atomic.
Atom Punk. I've heard of Atomic Punk, too.
1950 to 1970. Hard sci-fi.
We're getting raging hard sci-fi right now.
Cold War Utopia, Atomic Power, Nuclear Energy, and Robots.
So that's more like that sci-fi, I guess, that I was thinking.
It sounds kind of like a Fallout, but
in
the future.
I think that that's what Fallout was expecting. Like, that's the fictitious future in Fallout, as opposed to what actually happened in Fallout.
Well, like, the robots, right? There's, like, lots of crazy robots. That's, like, one thing I'm thinking.
Well,
Cold War Utopia, but, like, an opposite. There's definitely atomic and nuclear energy in it.
If the world wasn't as trashed in Fallout, it would be...
It's whatever the opposite of a Cold War Utopia is. It's, like, a Cold War dystopia, where, like, bad things happen.
Exactly it. You got the word right, Kyle.
I do know the difference between those two words, and that's actually probably one of the only two differences I know.
So, all I'm saying is that I don't know if that still constitutes atom punk or if that makes it fall back into, like, diesel punk or just, I don't know, but sure.
Or post-apocalyptic. Or just cyberpunk. Like, I don't even know if it's even any one of these.
It must be.
Okay. The next one. I've never heard of this before she sent this to me.
Yeah.
Cassette Futurism.
I've never heard of that either.
1970 to 1990. But it
makes sense when you look at it, right?
Like, this is exactly what Ready Player One kind of was, almost.
Yeah.
80s, VHS, lasers, geometric shapes, glitch, synthesizers, and computers.
I think of, what's his name? The talking head guy. Max Headroom.
Okay,
I think he's kind of embodies a lot of that kind of
aesthetic.
That's a
talking heads thing.
No, he is a head that talks.
Oh, okay.
I was running into it. I mean, like, there's a head, there's talking, I got there.
Yeah,
the
no, that's. I think that's similar.
I think Max Headroom represents some of the aesthetic that you'd see out of that. I'm trying to think of any examples of that, and I'm struggling.
Yeah, all I can think of is things that would reference, like, that. I mean, you could also look at Kung Fury as kind of like a weird cassette futurism.
Sure, thing. Actually, yeah, that makes sense. I could dig that.
At least the parts of Kung Fury.
No, I think the setting.
Okay.
You're right. The setting for Kung Fury before they go to the Viking Age and fight the laser raptors. I think... what I love about Kung Fury is it sets you up for some of the most absurd sentences in your life. Because that's when I think that the setting in Kung Fury before he hacks time and travels to the Viking Age to fight the laser raptors before Thor then sends him to go fight Hitler. Like, that's a sentence that makes sense in the context of Kung Fury, but it does not make sense anywhere else to a level that's absurd.
I want to, like, I'm actually trying to figure out what films fit in the cassette futurism genre. Like,
I don't know. Can you think of any stories? Maybe not. They may not have made it up in the films.
I don't know.
Any fanfics?
I mean, feel free to comment, but... Fanny, you looked at Amy.
Not specifically, no.
Is there anybody having sex with a... No, sorry. That's not what fanfic's about. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, it kind of is.
Oh, my God.
No smoke without fire.
I forgot to say that we watched My Immortal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
man. We'll cover that once we finish this.
Okie dokie.
Because I don't know how much there's to say about it.
Well, there's plenty to say about it.
Retching sounds isn't going to make a good podcast.
That's not necessarily true. We all retch differently. The final one is Cyberpunk 2020 to 2100, which I like. Or 2100. 2100. Did I say that?
You did say that. You said 2100 three times just now.
I thought I was saying 20, like in my head it was 20,100.
Yeah.
And then I realized that's how you say it.
You said it right across the line.
Typically,
that was kind of strange.
I say 21,000.
You're doing good this morning.
I know. And then I keep backpedaling.
And you're backpedaling, but you're doing good.
Cyberpunk, near future, dystopia, cybernetics, mega corporations, hackers, and city noir. So, everybody knows what cyberpunk is if you've watched Blade Runner.
If you've listened to us, yeah. Well, yeah, Blade Runner is sort of the anthem, right? That's the defining.
Yep. And if you're a fan of the Android Netrunner world, which I am.
Which is based on Blade Runner.
Yep, pretty much. Actually, both of those are based on Neuromancer.
Yeah.
I think.
They're all... It's tricky, right? Because Blade Runner is based on Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, but the aesthetic that they built isn't really from a book, because the aesthetic they built is someone's interpretation of that book.
That guy strokes really loud.
Yeah, it is. Tiny penis.
Holy shit.
Tiny penis.
Look at his muffler. Okay, like, you could fit a baby's head in there.
That's a tuba on the end of a muffler.
Like a foghorn. That'd be funny, because the girl's like... All right.
I think that...
You're right,
is that... And again, we talked about this before. It is obviously a derivative work, and that's fine, but the visuals in that movie define that characteristic. Everything else wrote about it, and that's fine.
Because I think, like, they establish a lot of, like, the kind of city noir aspect of it, and the, like, cyborgs and stuff, or androids, sorry. I guess it's fucking not. That's Androids Dream of Electric Sleep. Anyway.
Replicants, they're actually called.
Yeah, I don't care. But I think other books and mythos has established more of the universe in like a really healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't read Neuromancer, you should go read it, because it's a pretty cool book.
The books establish the universe. Mm-hmm. The movie established the aesthetic.
Yeah, okay. I don't disagree with that. I just like.
So I think they both
talking
are
about it all instead of just one.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that it's really important to acknowledge that Blade Runner is what established the visual in people's minds.
I want to go back and actually watch Blade Runner again, and then watch fucking Christ, what's it called?
Ghost in the Shell?
Yes, thank you. The new Ghost in the Shell. And see, like...
That's like the third time it's happened the last couple of days, where someone was like, what's that word? It's like, soliloquy. How could you possibly have guessed that was the word?
One was not as, like, you know, out of the blue, but yeah, I get you. Because I want to see that. I want to see... Because every time I think of Blade Runner, I basically just think of a black screen and Harrison Ford walking around, because the movie's so fucking dark. And I'm like...
I always think of slow-moving ceiling fans.
Yeah, I guess it's fair.
Is there a breeze?
Is there a door? Like it.
A door not latched? Door might not be latched. Quiet. Vince. I wonder if maybe that door isn't latched. Anyway.
I think this is a pretty good, like, visual.
Yeah. That's why I shared it to you. That seems like a really...
Somebody did it for us, I believe, is what you said? Something like that?
Yeah.
So...
I don't know. I was drunk.
I don't know. I had to drive home in traffic. I was drunk. So, if you're interested in any of this stuff, I guess you have definitive search terms now.
Yeah, it's something to kind of lock in on. I think they're mostly right. I think that the trick is that genres are a little wigglier than that, but that those give you... Again... I still believe that genres are descriptive, not prescriptive, and they're more labels than they are buckets.
Ah, see, I was thinking the other way. Like, you could probably put everything in a bucket with the right argument. What that means is prescriptive, right?
What it means is that you can only be in one genre, right?
At a time, yeah.
So you can't be in, like, a thriller romance or a...
You could, because that's a bucket.
So now you have to make an infinite number of buckets. Yeah. That's every combination of other things. Mm-hmm. So you don't think of that as labels, then?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just like the idea of putting things in buckets.
I mean, I get that you're pro-bucket.
I just, like, I mean, but to me, it's satisfying in a physical and mental way to put something in a bucket and organize it.
It's fair. But, so the reason I say buckets versus labels is, in the terminology of other places, you're only ever in one bucket, but you can have multiple labels affixed to you.
Mm,
right?
I see.
And so, this pisses librarians off, I get, because they want to put things on shelves, and the shelves are in sections.
Didn't we talk about that already, how Jefferson County didn't do it that way?
Yeah, they did it some weird-ass way.
And it sounds interesting to me, and I want to go... I might be going to a Jefferson County Library tonight, so I get to experience the full-fledged... like version of this non Dewey Decimal System library.
Jefferson alive. Anyway, but yeah, no. So that's where rats off to everybody. Rats off to everybody. The concept of genre being a limiting, like you must follow the things as opposed to it's got elements from, is where I just think genre could be overly. When we talk about this, and you get movies that are like, well, what genre is this in? Like,
we already talked about it. We already talked about it, and I get that. Because the idea is that you can watch a movie with a certain frame of reference, and it changes the genre.
Right.
And so, I understand
that. And so that's where having these kinds of genres on the punk, asterisk punk, can be helpful, but it also is...
Don't keep with it, I guess.
Well, I mean, yeah, you can't be like, well, this is supposed to be diesel punk, but that guy's got a steam engine. It's like, just let it go.
Let it be. So, like, I guess I like looking at this stuff because I'm like, cool, more ways to try to describe things.
I like it for that, and I also like it for being like, I want to go find something from World War II era, so I know to look for diesel punk. And
or, like, you're like, I want something that's a little mix of steampunk and raypunk. Maybe I should say steam power with strange forces and alien tech. And you're like, oh, maybe that'll get me something I need. Uh-huh. And
I'm all for words that you can use to have a discourse.
Yeah.
But I'm not really a fan of ways to shut down other people's descriptors or
like
concepts.
Saying God did it.
That's a weird angle to go, but fine, whatever.
You know, I don't really like religion that much. So
yeah,
it's not really
I'm not
a
really
weird
sure
angle
why you
go.
pulled that in.
Just because that seems to kill a lot of philosophical arguments.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, in a philosophical context, I'm like, I'm not sure how God did it applies to steampunk, but no. I gotcha. I'm with you now, buddy.
Is that,
yeah.
I guess that's an interesting point. How prevalent is God in all of these kind of
typically
punks?
It's not.
Yeah.
I went to a panel. It was a very disappointing panel with two authors and a dipshit.
Two authors and a dipshit.
And I think I wrote about it.
That sounds like this podcast. Like, you and Amy, and then me.
Except I'm not an author, so how much have you authored?
Or maybe it's one author and two dipshits.
What have you ever written anything?
Like, articles and stuff.
Yeah, so you're an author.
Short stories?
And I'm a dipshit, really.
You've
so
written
you
two.
You two are the authors, and
Amy's,
I'm a dipshit.
Amy, have you written anything?
You used to write
fan fiction though with your friends, right?
Nope, turns out she's a dipshit. We fucked it up.
Yeah, we did. We can count that.
Three authors and no dipshits.
We're all dipshits here.
Three authors and three dipshits.
We're all dipshits here. She was like the founder of IO9 or whatever it was, and she said that
the founder of it?
Founder or she ran it at one point. I can't remember what her name was, but like Kate and I both just lost all respect for her because she said cyberpunk is dead as a genre. It's like, go on. It's like, no, we're already living in the dystopian future, so it doesn't matter. You can't write any more cyberpunk.
If this is like, nowhere near the dystopian.
I don't think I can plug into a computer into my brain and hack it with my mind, okay? Until we get there, you can't tell me cyberpunk is dead. And even then, it just becomes contemporary fiction, okay? So go fuck your hat.
And then
you are not the queen of cyberpunk.
But
she was acting like she was, and it's like, couldn't possibly respect you less right now.
That's why we get in. That's why me. I think. Well, that's why I like to imagine that I get into it with people so much about words.
Never meet your heroes.
They're always changing. They're always changing. So, like, obviously, cyberpunk is going to continue to be a term for a certain type of literature or fiction or media, but it's going to change as we move forward in time and start discovering and moving through these things. Like,
but no, her reasoning was that Donald Trump got elected.
Oh, well, I mean,
so
I'm just saying, like, this is a justification for anybody who wants to believe that language is constantly, language genre, blah, 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 is constantly evolving. Is because we're going to still be using the term cyberpunks in the future. even if we even are in a cyberpunk dystopian future.
Yeah, it'll just be more cyberpunk.
It'll just be something completely different. Like, it'll be like, how do we connect hive mind consciousnesses that are exist in the ether? And then you're like, that's cyberpunk because that's so far beyond what we can do now or something.
We can't connect our hive minds to the ether. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's the part I always fucking hated about hard and soft sci-fi, because it's like,
all horse shit, yeah.
It's like, what could we not actually do? And you're like, so if I just make up random shit and don't bag it with science, that's soft sci-fi. And it's like, they're like, yeah. And I'm like, but like, everything will...
It's all made up. It's fiction.
Everything can...
That's the five part.
I'm a firm believer as a accredited scientist from a university.
Ding.
That... And you fuck everybody who thinks otherwise.
Ding.
Gatekeeping. That... if it hasn't been done yet, that doesn't mean it can't be done. It just means that we don't understand how to do it. That's my like prevailing theory on
Kyle's theory stuff. Of technological advancement.
Advancement in any realm.
And I think you're right. And I think that's why hard sci-fi and soft sci-fi are stupid. We talked about that.
And that's also why I worry about like the future of the field that I was once part of, because closed-mindedness about theories and not testing stuff because it seems nonsensical is frustrating to me.
Well, the upside of that, as we kind of really launch with a bit of a fascinating little side note here.
Vignette?
More like rabbit hole.
Okay.
Shithole? Shit.
A vineyard.
That's, okay. Oh, yeah. Sure, let's hang out the vineyard. Can we just go get drunk?
Yeah, we could. But you decided to drive us to work, so who really fucked that up?
Get drunk. Anyway, get day drunk.
We do have a lot of wine at the office.
We do. Anywho. There's a whole lot of citizen science happening right now on YouTube. I mean, like, not in the...
not in the, like, academic realm.
Not in the dogmatic realm of academia, but instead a bunch of wahoos on YouTube blowing shit up.
Like York?
Like York, like Cody's Lab.
All the people that are now getting indicted for, like...
AVE kind of does that a little bit, but not much.
The Canadian guy?
He's the machinist, yeah. Okay. But he's mostly dicking around. But Cody's Lab... to a lesser extent, King of Random, but he's mostly just blowing things up, too. Cody's Lab, like, he made uranium. Or, no, he made yellow cake uranium from something, somehow. He also made gunpowder from his own urine, just because he could. Like, he's doing this shit. I should probably go for the less violent stuff. He also figured out, like, he's been extracting gold from things and ores. Hmm. Like, he's doing all kinds of really neat shit. And for nothing more than the love of it, I really don't know where I can... I'm gonna line up with... car.
Yeah, like, and so, like, it's kind of cool to see that, I think.
Well, and I think that's going to be your answer, is because as academia decides it wants to crawl up its own asshole and die because it refuses to accept new types of theories or different ways of thinking, you're going to have the citizen scientists being the ones who are going to...
And I do understand the necessity of a...
Gatekeeping?
No, of a system that controls certain aspects of the process. Like, the scientific process, I get. Because that's a philosophical system of thinking about a thing.
The scientific method or just the...
The idea of, like, hypothesis, yeah, like, doing things so people can understand what you did.
No.
And being able to have, like, replicatable experiments and being able to, like, build off of a hypothesis.
Yes.
But there's also, like, too much dogma that can go into system.
You know,
like
the other thing that I think is funny, I mean, I hate academia, and I said that publicly, and I don't care what people think of that. Because it's a bunch of dickheads.
Says the hypocrite who went to college for 4 years.
Yeah, and I wish I hadn't spent that much money on it. I'm glad I went to a cheap-ass state school.
I wouldn't have been able to get a job if I didn't.
Yeah, me too, probably, but whatever. I still think it was stupid in a lot of ways. But there was an article, and if I find it, I'll put it in the blog, or in the doodly-doo. If I don't, go find it yourself. You're all adults.
Go find yourself.
It talked about how, like, 80% of peer-reviewed, published, like, scientific results were never attempted to being reproduced. And the 20% that were, of that 20%, half of them were not reproducible. And the other half were like, okay, we confirmed it. So, like, we all talk about reproducibility, but no one's actually checking the work.
Well, one of
the
things you'd have to check is how many of those processes went into building either, like, production lines or went to going to make more of the thing they were trying to solve. Like, right. So some of those 80% could be things that didn't need to be reproduced because they were being reproduced in the processes that were going to make the drug that they're trying to make,
Which is possible.
Yeah. But that's what, I mean, that to me is like...
The other side about that is nobody wants to get their doctorate in reproducing somebody else's stuff, right? No one does their master's thesis in reproducing.
But I bet you in 20 years, when everybody is super cynical, like that's going to be like a profession.
I think we've reached a point now where all the cool science, like all the really neat stuff, I shouldn't say it. Much of the scientists that were getting their doctorates in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and maybe even 80s were doing the pioneering cool stuff. But now there are so many doctoral students that there aren't enough neat things for them to be doing. So they're examining the tensile strength of underwater basket weaving or something. And so you end up with this really border, like weird shit in the corner cases of stuff. Some of it's neat, but some of it's safe. And not very interesting because they just want to get their doctorate so they can go out.
That's a big deal too in academia is like
publish or perish.
Some people are like being more critical of like doctor theses because they're like you can't write a paper on the rate of growth of an evergreen tree in the Colorado Alps or something because you're like that's not nobody
who fucking cares.
Well yeah, it, like yeah, but
you're not advancing science much, buddy. So
yeah, there's like an idea of advancement.
But having said that, no one seems to be like, my scientific paper was to reproduce these five sets of experiments people did that were probably not easy to reproduce. Who cares about that?
But right? I think that is could be a minor scientific revolution.
I think it would be a great scientific revolution because I wonder how many people, I mean, I've known a lot of doctoral students and master's students. And I mean, I've known students in academia at all levels. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of like, I hope
we audit every other thing in our lives.
Yeah.
We should be able to audit scientific theses. Like, to trust him without question is just as dangerous as any of the other things we trust without question. Yeah.
We have faith.
We just established science is faith.
Well, we just established that faith in the scientific foundations, the scientific dogma.
I think the dogma is more empirical than that, and we just stop following it. Or, I'm sorry, I don't like to use the word dogma because I find the scientific process useful, but I don't like to.
I find the process useful, but yeah. I feel like people will go one revolution down it and then stop, as opposed to remembering that it's an infinite cycle.
Yeah,
and I was talking to somebody the other day. He's like, "It's a scientific fact." It's like there isn't such a thing. According to the scientific method, the word "fact" has no place there.
But you understand why that people have to use that term, though.
I understand that. Okay. Yes, but at the same time, if you're going to start nitpicking about hypotheses versus theories, you can't use the word "fact" anymore. That's what they were doing. They were nitpicking about hypotheses.
But that's why they are. So they'll say this is a fact, and people are like, facts are fake. And you're like, well, this is something we've proven in science as a like fact. And so it's more of like a like response to people being overly critical of the word fact. I understand
the word fact is useful in layman's terms, but it is only a layman's term.
But that's what you're arguing about when you say scientific fact.
No. The context of this situation was somebody saying, no, you don't have a theory, you have a hypothesis. So he was nitpicking about terms in the scientific method, which transitioned from a layman's conversation into a technical conversation. And once you've done that, you discard the opportunity to use the word fact. Because once you start talking about nitpicking the difference between theory and hypothesis, there are no facts. There are just theories that are really sticky and really hard for us to disprove. Because remember,
you've delved into the empirical realm so far.
Exactly. So now when you start talking about how you have a theory and you are building experiments to disprove your hypothesis, because that's the whole point of testing science, is you say, I need to devise an experiment to not confirm, but disprove.
That's not just a scientific thing. That's a statistical thing. That's a like
it's economic across the board. Thing. Yeah. And people forget that they want to set up experiments that prove them.
That they're fit
and that prove it's right. Yeah. That's not correct. You are trying to set up experiments to disprove. Mm-hmm. That's also how debugging works.
It's like the null hypothesis in any given scenario. Yeah,
and that's how debugging works. And that's how differential diagnoses work. When you're
that's why the happy path always confused me.
Yeah,
it's like why are we testing that if that's not the one that
the happy path testing stuff. is the same thing as smoke testing, really, where you're just making sure it didn't blow up. Like, I put this, we're like 30
times. Okay, we need to stop.
So,
apparently we need to have another conversation on this.
Like, comment, and subscribe.
Yeah.
Go fuck your hat.
Do that. Don't do it. I mean.
It sounds itchy.
If you do it in a sock in the hat, it's a little easier to clean up. Because the sock will catch it all.
Sits like everybody.